Broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the mighty men of David as we pick up today's lesson in 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 1. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
Now, in the 12th chapter of the book of Chronicles, we have those men that began to gather unto David. And it would appear that we are looking at those that gathered to David in four different areas, or at four different times. When Saul was pursuing David, David finally fled for his life to the Philistine city of Gath and under the protection of King Achish. David then said to King Achish, "Look, the company that I have are too many. We're crowding the city of Gath. Why don't you just appoint me a territory to live?" And so he gave to David Ziklag. The exact location we do not know, but it is somewhere south of Jerusalem and probably somewhere southeast of Gath. And there David and his men began to dwell, sort of in exile, having fled from Saul's insane anger. While David was at Ziklag, these are the men who began to gather to him in verses 1 through 7. The men from the tribe of Benjamin, which was Saul's tribe. The Benjamites were always known for their toughness. These guys were really tough. They were always, it seems, skillful. It was a art or whatever that was passed down of using the sling. And it says at one spot concerning the men of Benjamin, there was a certain number of them that at about 100 yards or so with a sling could split a hair. I mean, they were really accurate with those slings. Here at Ziklag, they're gathered together, these men of Benjamin, who were skillful archers as well as men who were capable in using the sling. It seems that the men of Benjamin were many of them left-handed. And at another place, it talks about them using their left hands. And here it talks about them being ambidextrous in that they were equally skillful with their left hand or their right hand in the hurling of stones. It is an interesting thing. There is a psychological term called positive transference. And that is, if you are normally right-handed, if you will learn to do a task with your left hand, you will automatically be able to do it with your right hand because of, in the brain, there is this positive transference from the left to the right if you are normally right-handed. And so these men, whether or not they were left-handed or just were right-handed, but learned to use their left hand in using the sling, you had the positive transference, and they were then able to do it equally well with the right hand. These men of Benjamin use either hand, skillful with both hands. And then it gives the names of the fellows, which we're not going to bore you with. Verse 8, the men of Gadites came to David when he was in the hold of the wilderness. Now, having moved on from Ziklag to probably the area of Adullam, these men from the tribe of Gad came. Now, Gad was over on the other side of the Jordan River, is where the Gadites had settled. And they came to David there in the hold of the wilderness, and they were men of might, men of war. They were ready for battle. They could handle the shield and the buckler. Their faces were like the faces of lions, and they were as swift as the deers upon the mountains. And when they came to join David, the Jordan River, it was in the month of March, and traditionally the flood time, and Jordan was flooding. But these guys swam across the river that was overflowing its banks to join David. Just a rugged bunch of fellows. Verse 15, these are they that went over Jordan in the first month, which would be the end of March, when it had overflown all his banks. And they put to flight all of them in the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. Then there came the children of Benjamin and Judah unto the hold, again, which was probably Adullam, unto David. And David went out to meet them, and he asked them, if you have come peaceably unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit to you. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies, seeing that there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look upon it and rebuke it. So if you've come to be my friend, welcome, fellows. If you've come to betray me, then let God deal with you, because I'm innocent. It is interesting to me that if they had come to hurt or to harm David by betrayal, rather than saying, I'll get you guys, he commits them to God. I have found that God will be our defense. The scripture promises that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, for this is the heritage of the children of the Lord. And I have found that if you are wrongfully accused or someone comes against you wrongfully because of your commitment to the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will be your defense. I have also found that if I seek to defend myself, he'll let me. In other words, if I trust in him, he'll take care of the situation. But if I trust in myself, then he'll let me flounder on my own. And it is fascinating to me that David, if they have impure or improper motives in coming here, then let God take care of you. And he is not threatening personal kind of vengeance or whatever upon them, but is willing to commit the case unto God. I'll let God take care of it. Now the Spirit of God came upon Amasai. And this is one of the places where we read again of God's Spirit coming upon a man. The Spirit came upon Amasai, who was the chief of the captains. And he said to David, thine are we. We're on your side, thou son of Jesse. David, we belong to you. We're on your side. Peace, peace be unto thee. And peace be to your helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. There was the recognition and the growing recognition among the people that God was working through David, that the hand of God was upon his life and that God was blessing him. And this was the gradual consciousness of the people as they saw David, as they watched him and saw how God was with him and blessed him, gave him victory over his enemies, there came slowly to the people this recognition. Now, interestingly enough, it would infer in the text that here the recognition came as the result of God's Spirit upon Amaziah, declaring, "Look, we're with you. We're on your side. And may you be blessed. Those that help you be blessed, for God is helping you." So David received them and made them captains of the band. And then there fell some of Manasseh to David, and this is a different time and group, when he came with the Philistines against Saul to battle. But they didn't help the Philistines, for the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement or with counsel, sent them away, saying, "If the battle gets tough, David and his men will join with Saul and turn against us." When David was dwelling in Ziklag with the Philistines, having fled from Saul, he had formed a sort of alliance with Achish, the king of Gath. And so when the Philistines went to march against Israel and against King Saul, this was the time when Saul was defeated and killed. Achish originally invited David to go along with him for battle, and David said, "You know, my men are yours. Let's go." But then when the other lords of the Philistines saw David and his group, they said to Achish, "What in the world are you doing bringing David in? Isn't this the guy that they sing about? He killed his tens of thousands. Isn't this the one that killed Goliath? Send him home. We don't want him fighting with us. If the battle starts going tough against Saul, then he'll turn and his heart will be knit back to Saul again. So get rid of him." Now, at that time, some of the men from Manasseh had come to help David. And so they returned with David to Ziklag. Now, you remember when they got back to Ziklag, they discovered that some people from the south, the nomads, the Bedouin tribes, had come and had kidnapped their wives and children and had sacked the city and had taken off. And at that time, these men, David had a tough bunch, and they were so upset. They wept until they had no more strength, and then they said, "Let's kill David, you know." It's funny how that you want to take your feelings out on somebody, even though he's not responsible at all. And so David said, "Come on, let's pursue after them." And how David and his men pursued after and found the men and took back the spoil and so forth. But at this time, some of the men from Manasseh joined David. And so these were they that came at this particular time to Ziklag. And it gives the names of the captains of the thousands from Manasseh that were with David. And verse 21, they helped David against these band of rovers, these guys that had invaded the land and had taken David's wives and children and kidnapped them. They helped David against this band, for they were all mighty men of valor, and they were captains in the host. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host like the host of God. So there gathered unto David these various groups. It originally started out with sort of a ragtag kind of a band, a group of fellows who were in debt, in trouble, escaping from the law, and they joined unto David. But God made of them a mighty army that subdued, really, the kingdoms around them. So these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to the war, that came to David to Hebron. Now, this is the next group. When Saul was killed in this battle with the Philistines, then David went from Ziklag to Hebron, where the tribe of Judah made David king over Judah. And David reigned over Judah for 7 years in Hebron. before the death of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, at which time they decided to make David king over all of Israel. So now these are the men that came down to Hebron to join with David to make him king over all of Israel. And it gives the numbers of those men that came to David to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. It was that which was prophesied by Samuel as he anointed David and said that God had anointed him to be king over Israel. So the word of the Lord to David through Samuel. The children of Judah, 6,800. The children of Simeon, 7,100. Levi, 4,600. And as you go down the various tribes and the numbers of men, you find that there were approximately 339,600 men that joined themselves with David at this point, plus 1,221 captains. And so it's a pretty formidable force by now. Starting out with about 600 men, now the ranks have swollen, for daily they came to him until it was a great host like the host of God. When it speaks of those who came from Zebulun, verse 33, these men who were expert in war could use all kinds of instruments of war. 50,000 from the tribe of Zebulun who could keep rank. That is, men who would not break rank. Whenever you were engaged in battle in those days, it was always the attempt. You would come in your ranks, marching together in rank, and there was always that endeavor to break through the ranks or to break the ranks. Because you get the ranks broken, the guys begin to turn and run. And then you're at a disadvantage because it's hard to throw your spears backwards at your enemies when you're running away. And so the thing was always to get them to break rank, to turn and start to run, because then you've got the battle in your hands, because you can, you know, run and at them, really, you know, use the spears to great advantage. So these men from Zebulun, tough guys, they would not break rank. And more than that, they were not of double heart. They had a singleness of heart and purpose. One of the problems today with many Christians is that of a double heart. A heart towards the things of God and a heart towards the things of the world. When a person has a double heart, it's always a sign of weakness. Someone said, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything. You've got to know what you stand for and where you stand. And you've got to have a set purpose. You have to set your heart upon it. Daniel and his friends in Babylon determined in their hearts not to defile themselves. A singleness of heart. Fellows, we're not going to defile ourselves. We're going to live pure, godly lives. Some fellows came up to me this morning, and they said they were up until 3 o'clock this morning talking about their commitment to the Lord. And they had made that determination that they were just going to start living full on for the Lord. They had said in their hearts that they are going to have a heart for God, a singleness of heart in serving God. It was exciting. These guys were all of them big guys. Looked up to them, 6'2", 3, and 5, I think. Oh, man, that's neat. Setting and determining in your heart that God is going to be first and foremost in my life. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. This world really has nothing to offer of eternal value. The things of the world are baubles and beads. And we sort of think of the early times, the United States, when it wasn't the United States, when those men came from Europe, from Spain and all, and took advantage of the natives that were here, trading them glass beads for the gold. And we think, oh, those people, how cruel to give these Indians glass, shiny glass beads in exchange for gold, taking advantage of them. And we think those poor Indians, deceived in taking something of little or no value for something that was so valuable. But I think of how many Christians there are who are trading the valuable things for the beads that Satan offers, the worthless things of this world. And people are bartering off their eternal soul for glass beads, for the glitter and the glamour of the world around them, for that false value system that is in the world. A person would barter something so valuable as his soul.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with The Mighty Men at Hebron. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. While you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.